Friends, thank you very, very much for coming and for sharing in this press conference. My name is Paul Feely. I'm part of the communication team here at ACC 16. I'll introduce the head table in just a moment and tell you the format, but before we do that, I'd like to invite the Dean of the Cathedral to come forward and to offer a word of welcome.
Good evening, Your Grace. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the press. Welcome to the Cathedral of the Holy Cross. We've been leading you in the last few weeks into a climax. We've been telling you part of the story, and the World Church, Anglican Communion, and its activities, preparing your hearts and minds for such a day as this. And here today we have the communion already in session, and we would like to welcome you to this session where you can discuss and understand who we are, where we come from, and indeed maybe even you will get a picture of where we are going. And so welcome again to the Cathedral of the Holy Cross and to this press conference as we are focused on finding out where God is taking us as a church. Thank you.
I'd like to introduce the head table, and then I'll give you the format for the press conference. Going from left to right, Canon Elizabeth Paver is the Vice Chair of the Anglican Consultative Council. Archbishop Justin Welby is the Archbishop of Canterbury. Bishop James Tangatanga is the Chair of ACC, and Archbishop Josiah Iduwu Firon is the Secretary General of the Anglican Communion. What we'd like to do is, in a moment, I'm going to ask Bishop James if he'd give a very brief opening statement, and then we'll open the floor for questions. Michael has a microphone. He'll be moving that around, and we'll alternate as much as we can in terms of questions. We'd ask you to stay focused on one question only. No speeches, please, and thank you very much. If you could direct your question to one of the people at the table, that would always be helpful. So, Bishop James, if you would.
Thank you, Paul. Welcome, members of the press. As you know, we are meeting as the ACC, the Anglican Consultative Council, which is a meeting of worldwide Anglicans that meets every 3 years. And the ACC is one of the four instruments of communion. That's how we organize our relationships. We have the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Lambeth Conference, the Primates, and ACC. And basically, ACC acts as the secretariat and also the body that carries out most of the recommendations from the churches, and also makes recommendations and helps churches work through their mission, work through matters of evangelism, work through matters of interfaith, which we call ecumenical matters, and all our engagement with the world. And so it meets every 3 years. We're looking at a composition of about 80 to 90 people, bishops, laity, and clergy, that gather together from all the 38 provinces of the Anglican Communion, which exists in 165 countries in the world. And Zambia is part of the worldwide Anglican Communion. And the Communion is a member, it has 38 provinces, and Zambia falls in what we call the province of Central Africa, which is Zambia, Zimbabwe, Malawi, and Botswana. And so this time around, we are meeting in Zambia. We meet all over the communion, bringing the worldwide church to the local church, to the local member. So the Central Africa is experiencing the world church, and also the world church is experiencing Central Africa. So, and it's not the first time we're gathering in Africa. The very first meeting of the ACC was in Limuru, Kenya, in 1971. followed by one in Dublin. And then in Africa, we came again in Badagry, in Lagos State in Nigeria. And the very last one we did in Africa was in Cape Town some time back. And so this is the third time we are doing this in Africa, in another part of Africa. So we are gathering at this particular time under the theme of intentional discipleship in a world of difference. The differences are increasing every day in as much as we talk about a global village, but a global village that exists in a post-colonial and a post-modern world, which also emphasizes a number of differences in many kind of ways, but at the same time, looking at how we engage with that world as disciples of Christ. So we are going to be talking about the environment, reconciliation, both within the church and outside of the church, migration and discipleship. And delegates will also hear from their colleagues from the various provinces telling their stories about how God is at work in those particular places and how they work. And together find a way of responding to the challenges of the world and coordinate our response and develop policies in those areas, that we can recommend to the worldwide church. So this is where we are engaging together. And then somewhere in the middle of our time together, we will spend time with going even deeper to the local situation. We'll go to local parishes, divide ourselves up, and engage in the life and worship on a Sunday at a local parish. So it's to hear the stories that are not only diocesan stories, not only stories from the cathedral, but from the everyday Zambians in the townships and the areas around Greater Lusaka. So this is what we are about, and this is what we're doing this week.
Thank you, Bishop, very much. We have about 20 minutes for questions, just to put a time frame on everything. So if you're interested in asking a question, if you'd simply raise your hand and I can point to somebody and we can begin. Could be a short press conference.
Hi, I had a question for the Archbishop. You mentioned in your presidential address that you were very conscious of the sin...
Can you remind us...
I'm from the Church Times in London. You mentioned the sins of colonialism. And I wondered, is that something that you've been particularly conscious of in your travels around the communion? And how does that affect how you speak in the various countries that you go to? And perhaps you could also comment on your statement that you felt that there perhaps been a sort of insufficient apology in some parts of the communion for those sins.
Thank you, Marilyn. I think I said too seldom repented of, rather than insufficient apology. Elizabeth and I are the two least qualified to speak about this up here. But I think it comes in two forms. There's the heritage of colonialism, which is a heritage of a sense that certain countries exist really almost for the benefit of other countries, i.e. exploitative use of the economy, of natural resources. That is not in every country, but it is certainly still the case in some. There is the heritage that comes from the creation of artificial frontiers and boundaries that, from the Congress of Berlin, that pay no attention to the natural movements of people and make it harder for very proper nation states to operate as well as they should. We've had this in Europe as well in certain frontiers. But we did it from above without the consent of the people, and I think that's something we have to look back on and sometimes question. I'm not saying it needs changing, but it just is something we have to recognize that we caused. And I think there's unfair trade practices. But I think the most difficult thing within the church is the inherited assumption that we have, that certain parts of the church have the right to tell other parts of the church what to do. And it goes in all directions. I'm not looking at anyone in particular. We do it in all kinds of directions. It's a habit we've got into. And it's done imperiously, often, rather than consultatively. So those were the sorts of things that were on my mind, and saying that one of the great gifts of the church when it operates well, and we do see it operating well very frequently, is when we sit and listen to each other through our disagreements and love each other through our disagreements. I don't know if that answers your question. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, please. Okay, just remind you to remind us who you are and what you represent, what organization you represent.
My name is Violet Mingo. I'm from the Zambia Daily Mail. According to the program that I have with me, is that the meeting has, to some extent, started. I wanted the Archbishop to just... the meeting has started, meaning today you met and the issues that you looked at. Could you give us a summary of what exactly, say, transpired in the day in terms of what was the meeting all about for today? The second question is, when you arrived at the airport...
I'm terribly sorry, I can't hear.
Maybe it's too close to your mouth.
It's so close to my mouth?
Slowly, we are not all from Zambia.
No, Zambians don't talk fast. I'll go through again. I was saying the meeting has officially started from the program, and you met today. I just wanted you to give us a summary of how today's meeting has been in terms of how the meeting has been.
Okay.
And then the other question is, when you arrived, you said you see how the program will be, and you give if there's need for adjustments in terms of programming, that will be done. So I would like you to also maybe put us through in terms of, has there been any changes to what was already laid down in terms of the program? And the other question is that...
I need to limit you just to one question at this point.
Okay.
I think the best people to answer that question, both those questions, are not me, but the two people on my right. So maybe I can ask them.
All right. Well, the meeting began today, and we started with prayer and Bible study. And then we went into discussions about where we are, where we have been, and who is here, and what stories they bring. So it was basically, today is basically a beginning, building our community and getting to know one another, because close to a third, if not more, usually are new members. We have never been to a conference, so we've been doing that. And then secondly, we talked about the president reported the discussions of the primates, which you may know from January, and telling this other instrument what another instrument talked about. And so we looked at that, followed by then welcoming our ecumenical partners who are here to as participants within ourselves. So, and then we did some housekeeping. That was the day. And in terms of change, we aren't there yet, because today was basically really housekeeping, building community, and getting there. And then, if there are issues people want to raise that will be different from what we already raised, we'll get on. Because the program is formed by the ideas and issues that we glean from the provinces through provincial secretaries and through other members of the communion.
Archbishop Josiah, do you want to add anything to that, or is that okay?
Honestly, I didn't quite, but I understand what the chair has said.
Okay. Thank you.
It was the microphone, not really, because you couldn't speak well. So it's difficult to come.
Yes, please.
I'm Mary Frances Schonberg from the Episcopal News Service, and my question is for Canon Paver. I want to ask you about something that happened late this afternoon in the meeting when you asked for the members of the ACC to affirm their willingness to work with the primates. And I'm not sure, first of all, what the my question is, what are the practical implications of the applause that you received for your question?
Thank you for that question. The session that you were referring to was one of our most important sessions, when the Archbishop of Canterbury was able to bring to the ACC a presentation following the January meeting of all the primates of the communion. And it was very important that the members heard from our president what the outcomes of that were. We then asked all the members to discuss in their table groups a question regarding that. Where did they see their own contribution being in answering what the primates had discussed and what the Anglican Communion itself is facing at this time? And we quite acknowledge that there are differences around the Communion. The statement made at the end of that session came out of a question that had come from the President's presentation. That was why it was different from the one on the table. And we just wish to ask the members to address that question, which had come directly from the Archbishop and the other primates, to say, was the Anglican Communion, through the ACC, willing to individually and collectively work for the flourishing of all parts of the Communion, particularly in relational terms, that we walk alongside each other and we affirm each other. And if the primates, who are our spiritual leaders, are prepared to do that through their differences, we wish just to give the members of ACC an opportunity to say they too will put their efforts, their energies and their prayers and their hopes into the fact that this communion can stay together and can flourish in all parts of the world.
Any other questions? Yes.
Mark Michael, the Living Church from Milwaukee, Wisconsin in the U.S. Just a question for you, Bishop Tengatenga, about the presence of the Kenyan delegates after the Archbishop of Kenya's previous decision to announcement that they wouldn't be attending. I don't know if you had any guidance about that situation.
I basically have no guidance. Each province has a responsibility and a duty to attend the Anglican Communion meetings, because they are part and members of the Communion. And who they send and who comes is the responsibility of the province. And all we do is organize a meeting and invite the members to send their members to come here, and they do come. And Kenya is here. I don't have a problem with that. And if Kenyans have problems with Kenyans being here, that's their own in-house issue, which I'm not privy to, and so really have nothing to say. Beyond that, every member has a right, a responsibility, and indeed a duty to fulfill their obligations as members of the Communion. And all members are expected to attend, all the 38 provinces.
And to add to that, it is important for non-Anglicans or the ladies and gentlemen of the press to understand that delegates are actually paid for the Anglican Communion Office, books, their flight. We pay for everything. So, but those who actually want to pay for themselves, we allow them to. But it is in our constitution. We are responsible for their travel arrangements and accommodation.
And we arrange them according to the names that we've been given by the province. Yeah. And the names from Kenya came from Kenya by the provincial office.
Question over here, and then to over here. So, but over here first, please.
I'm Stephen Nkoma from CBC Television. I remember the last time there was a press briefing, we were told that 150 delegates were invited, and by that time 138 had confirmed participation. Now that the meeting has started, do we have all the 150 delegates as of now?
I don't have the registration details, but all I know at the moment is that all provinces except Uganda, Rwanda, and Nigeria are the only ones that are not here, but everyone else out of the 44 members is here.
Okay. One second, over to here first. Rebecca.
Thank you. My question is for anyone who can answer it. The service booklet, the order of service booklet for the meeting cites the ACC lectionary, and I'm wondering how that lectionary was derived or developed, and in particular, if anyone can reflect on the choice of the reading from 1 Peter 3 to open morning prayer this morning, which was the first worship of the meeting.
Where did you get the lectionary for the... I think this is essentially... Yes, what, how did you choose the readings?
Okay.
We were always very well served by the local church, and here we are very much indebted for all of our worship to the chaplains who are here as a group with the bishop and the dean. That is very much left to them to put the lectionary together, but it may well have resonated with our Bible study. Bible study is an integral part of our coming together, and we always spend some time each morning on Bible study, and I think there were perhaps a few eyebrows raised, and then it just fitted in to our Bible study of Ruth. So I think we must never say that we're not indebted to the work that goes on prior to us coming to an ACC to make sure that our worship is always at the heart of what we do together.
So in a sense, one can almost see that I can't get quite in mind of the chaplaincy group, but one see that one can almost say you're being set up for the dialogue that's going to happen by looking at Ruth, almost subverting a patriarchal dominance in shaping the image of a community. Well, the Peter reading is a patriarchal, it sounds like a patriarchal narrative putting down the woman in the strictures of what has been understood in patriarchal terms. And I think that was kind of a setup that was then followed by the word that came from the reading of the letter of Ruth. So that was what I understood that dynamic to be working at, that there is a subversive element to scripture that we're going to attend to.
There may be time for just one or perhaps at the most two questions. All right.
Good evening. I think my question is directed at the Archbishop. I know I had asked this question earlier in the meeting, rather in the interview I had earlier with you. You had a meeting with the head of state early this morning at State House. I know a few things you talked to a private, but how did the meeting go?
You met him with the head of state.
Yes, I had the honor of an audience with the president this morning. And the meeting lasted about an hour. And it looked at, it was very, covered a lot of ground. It was a very interesting meeting. It's a great privilege to meet people like that. I was grateful for the opportunity. I think the key things we looked at were the impact of global markets on Zambia, particularly around the markets for natural resources, copper obviously especially. We talked about the impact of mining companies and their involvement in community development. We talked about microfinance and the poor and how rural areas can find the means of developing themselves through the use of microfinance. That was very, very interesting. Some of the ideas that were coming up that Zambia over many years has developed. We talked about Zambia's very peaceful history and particularly around the issues of ethnicity and tribalism, and how since the days of your first and very celebrated world-famous president, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, that has been overcome to a large extent in Zambia and is a matter of teasing but not of division. There was quite a lot of teasing going on, but all in good humour, very humorous indeed. And what else did we do? I think those were the main subjects. And it was fascinating education for me a little bit more, and about the church's role in the country. And I was deeply impressed with that and with the flourishing state of the churches, all churches across this country, and their contribution to society. It was a very educational opportunity for me. I felt that it had been an hour in which I gained a great deal more than I gave.
Perhaps one last question. If not, I'm going to ask Archbishop Josiah in a moment if he would close with prayer for us. Would like to, first of all, thank all of you for coming and for sharing in this conference to our guests. It's been a long and busy day for everybody, and for them to take the time, we're very grateful for that. We will have an additional press conference on Monday, April the 18th, so a week this coming Monday, 6 p.m., and it'll be exactly in the same place as this one is. You, of course, would be welcome as we, at that point, are just about finished ACC 16. Archbishop Josiah, if you would send us on our way with a prayer, please.
Gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you began this session with us. We thank you for the questions and the answers provided. We now pray, Father God, for our sisters and brothers who inform the public. We pray that you help them to use information creatively, that they will use the information made available to them for unity and not for division. And we pray for this country and the countries that make up this province, that, Lord, you will continue to direct the leadership, and particularly that you will direct and be with our brothers and sisters who use information. We pray similarly for all other countries represented here who've listened to this question and answer session. Lord, we ask that you help them to inform their communities back home with the fear of God, so that they will be honest, they will be just, they will be fair, and that all who will read or watch will be better informed and encouraged to work for peace, to work for reconciliation, and to work for better understanding in a world of differences. So be with us now and bless us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you all and good night.